Elliot.
Hello.
ESL Impact comes back this week.
It does.
You and I just had a lovely conversation that we're going to try and mimic because we're idiots.
You said what?
We're idiots and started to have a whole conversation about ESL Impact and realized that we didn't actually hit the record button.
So yeah. So all we were talking about was that obviously there's North America, South America, and Europe. I would say obviously, maybe some people don't know that. I presume there's an Asian one as well, but Europe is where a lot of the good teams are, as it is in men's Counter-Strike. But we were talking about a North American team, because there's a team called Karma, who, any of you were around, 7 years ago, remember. And Rain, especially.
I was going to say, the team name is from like 7 years ago, from 2016. I don't think they had the same roster at that point.
No.
Actually, they did. It was Emily Rain and Artstar.
Oh, okay. Artstar is playing for somebody else, I believe.
Correct. But this was after the Team Karma thing. That's when it was Dignitas for like a million years in a row. But what we were the bigger thing we were commenting on is that if you go right now on HLTV to the ESL Impact League and you look, so like a bunch of the European teams are all here and they all got players across the board and everyone's in. You go to NA, there's like two or three teams that just have absolutely zero announced players the team.
Half the teams at the event on HLTV have players still to be announced.
Yeah.
So if I know anything about NA,
which
at least two of them won't have a full roster like until 5 minutes before they play.
Yeah. I think we know for certain that the four rosters are Hyperion, Karma, Totsugeki.
We'll go with it.
And Cherry Bombs. The last two literally don't have any players in HLTV. Our current guess is that the players just don't have HLTV profiles and they're not making them before they've played an official game. That's my guess, because Team Karma's listed only as three players. I know that they have five. I've casted one of their matches recently. Like, I know that there are five players.
Yeah. It could be that they were stand-ins who aren't officially announced. But it's very North America. All the EU teams, pretty much. A lot of the EU teams will be the ones you know as well. And from an hour and a half from the time we record this, at time of recording, NIP Impact play Nigma Galaxy, which is important because Nigma Galaxy didn't lose for like 3 years to a fellow women's team.
Yep.
And then in April, they lost to NIP Impact at Gamers Without Borders, I believe. It wasn't at an Impact event. It was a separate event that had a women's tournament. I think it was Gamers Without Borders. And I think they might be they were the first team to beat them in a best of three. They might be the last team to beat them in a best of three as well.
So I'm gonna expose myself here for a minute because I'm dumb. There's a really good player in women's in the Impact League, right? That left their team in Brazil, left Furia to go to an Asian. Yeah. Who is she playing for now? Or am I like totally insane and just can't find her?
HSG, I think.
Okay. And they're just not here?
Are they not playing in the... Is there not an Asian one?
There's not an Asian bracket.
Oh, well. Unlucky, I guess.
Because I was like fairly certain that a Brazilian player went to a team from Asia.
Yeah. It was Olga. She's on HSG. Maybe it's not on HLTV. Maybe I'd be surprised. HSG.
Well, it's not on HLTV. If you go to the Impact account and look at the thing.
Oh, okay.
There is no.
That is odd. That is odd, especially as traditionally, at least, HSG have been quite an important figure in ESL Impact.
Maybe there's just one team and they auto invite to playoffs or something like that.
Maybe that is odd. I don't know. HSG have traditionally been quite an important part of Impact.
Yeah.
And it would be there's an open qualifier for the season 4 finals, I've just checked. in Asia. Okay.
So these are the invited teams, and I assume HSG is sitting in there.
I've just said there's three spots for Europe, two spots South America, two spots in North America, and one for the Asia Open qualifier. The season four finals being the 8th to the 10th of December in Valencia.
All right. Okay, let's get on to important topics. On this episode of Overtime Inferno, we will go on to ESL Group B, talk about that. We'll talk about ESL Group C. We'll talk about Valve's cryptic marketing for CS2, which will take us all of about 6 seconds. And we'll talk about the couple of interviews that came out last week. Roll the intro. All right. Let's start with Group B, which is going to take up a large chunk. Something weird happened here. Something real weird. So we, ahead of time, came into this group and said, okay, we can give you three teams that'll get out. We said Ansel get out. We said Heroic will get out. Big will probably get out. And then our last team was a little bit of a clusterfuck. We said it could be Monty. You and I were pretty high on MIBR as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was to our utter dismay when Heroic got 2-0'd by Big.
I wouldn't say dismay. Okay. I was quite happy
it was against what we had previously been prepared to believe when Heroic got 2-0'd by Big and then got 2-0'd by Mouse.
Yeah.
And then got sent down to the last chance stage and got 2-1'd by Monty.
Yeah.
Meaning that the only team that Heroic beat this year at ESL Pro League was Rooster.
EG did.
Yeah, I was going to say, who also got beat by 2-0 by EG.
Yeah. So they quite literally matched EG's results. Which, not the mark of a top five team.
No.
I will say, you know, people don't always, and I'm guilty of this as well, people don't always take Pro League all that seriously. I think the players probably take it quite seriously because it counts towards a Grand Slam. And it's a shit ton of money, but you know it is in Malta, and it's the talent take it a little bit less seriously. It's a long slog, whatever. Like, people don't always take Pro League seriously, and you could if you wanted to write this off as CS2 is coming. It's the last CS:GO event. It's not that big an event. It's not on a big stage or anything. It's fine, but this is becoming an issue for Heroic now. Like, they were so consistent at winning in group stages, and then when it would get to the big stage, they'd kind of fall apart. We've seen them fall apart against underdogs as well. Like, I mean, they lost to Gamer Legion at the Major, and another big one that's completely escaped my mind. But they've lost important... I mean, they lost a Major final to Outsiders. But it's always been on the stage that they started to choke. And if they're not even going to win at group stages, if they're not even going to get to the big stage, it's impossible to have any faith in them. At least when FaZe lose in group stages, you can still go, yeah, but if they get to the big stage, you know they're going to turn it on. With Heroic, the whole point was they don't turn it on stage, but at least they're good in group stages. So when they don't make it, it's like,
well, what the fuck are you good for now?
Well,
what have you done for me today?
We can't believe in you.
Yeah,
I think that's the big worry.
So they had an interview. We talked actually about it last week. Ahead of Group B, that Cadian came out and said, we're not playing the way we want to play. We're not playing the philosophies that we want to play.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people just went, yeah, but like, you're still Heroic. You're still like decently good. And then this happens. So, because we're overreactionaries, what's the next step? So I watched Pro League this morning. So quick season group C thing, but it won't actually matter. I talked about Pro League this morning. They were talking about Na'Vi on how much of a rope do we give Na'Vi, because it's a new team and we are close-ish to CS2 coming out. And the game is obviously going to change a bit when we hit into CS2, and how players play will be a little bit different. And so the question is like, there's players who are grinding CS2 solely, And then there's the current set of pro players who are grinding Global Offensive because that's still their day job.
Yep.
And will need to transfer into CS2. So the conclusion that the desk came to was pick Simple and pick two of his favorite players, and that's your core, and figure the rest out when it moves over. What's the heroic version of how do we start our transition? Because I think it's dumb at this point right now to say we want to win out Global Offensive. We're going to make a Global Offensive change.
Well, yeah, because I don't think Global Offensive is going to exist probably after Pro League almost.
Yeah, but my point is I don't, there's no reason to completely blow everything up with current metrics, right? So
you might as well keep the same roster for now. Yeah, and I think it's also too early to even say, even if you were staying in CSGO, I think it's too early to change the roster. But if you were going to...
What do you mean too early to change the roster?
This is their first big failure. I mean, they've had failures.
So the only reason I say that is because this roster has actually been together for like... Specifically, this version of the roster has been together for over a year. Right, with Yabby.
Yeah, but they've been good for most of that.
No disagreement, but we're treading into... This is not one of the teams that just went through a bunch of roster moves.
No, I agree.
This theoretically should be one of the stable teams.
That
should be as good as they were 6 months ago.
There's no such thing as stable teams in Counter-Strike. There just never is.
Virtus Pro. Not the new one, the old one.
The old one was notoriously unstable.
Nah, extremely stable.
The current one is actually a much better example of a team who is stable. I think... If you were going to make a change,
which is an if,
and it is an if because I probably wouldn't. For me, it's Staun. And I know that will be unpopular, but he is given the superstar roles, and on stage consistently, he is not a superstar. He is their superstar in group stages. He is the superstar when they win, but when they lose, he is not. And most of the time when they lose on stage, it's because Staun has like 12 kills. And everyone else, I actually think is harder to replace than Staun. I think Shush is the best in the world at his roles. I don't think anyone else is even close actually to Shush at what he does.
Yeah, I don't think there's a plug and play replacement for Kadian. If you want to replace Kadian, you have to replace somebody else with him.
The only argument I could see is Kadian becomes a rifler and you pick up device. But I don't think that's ever happening.
Well, but that's
I'm not even sure it's
good. The only way you replace Kadian is you have to replace someone else in conjunction.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not sure you're ever replacing Kadian.
Or you
might move him into a rifle role.
Or you turn Staun into an opper.
Yeah, see, that seems like
terrible.
That seems like bad juju.
Yeah, but he holds too many roles, and it's too hard to like. You go down the list of the lineup, and it's everyone is either best in the world at their roles or close to being pretty good. Everyone is top 10 in the world in their roles. I don't think that there's a single person other than Kadian, who again is
Kadian as an AWPer. Yeah, but even then, he's a moments AWPer.
No, he is. Everyone has their own niche. That's the problem. And everyone sits in their own place. And it's really hard to look at replacing, especially if you want to stay Danish.
Yeah.
It's next to impossible if you want to stay Danish.
I always think it's a real shame when, it's a shame when traditionally national teams become international and you just sort of like lose them in the soup. It's like,
I agree. I'm absolutely,
I think it's cool that we have
right now.
Well, quite. I think it's cool when like, teams have a lot of countries have international teams. I always think that's nice. And I think Heroic are the perfect example of what a national team should have compared to international teams, which is you can tell how good their communication is because they make decisions so quickly.
Bring me back. And by back, I mean, let's start the Counter-Strike Olympics, because Heroic might be the best team in the world. Off the rip, because they're already a national team. All right, let's talk about some other teams in this group. Big surprised us to a degree. I'm going to temper our statements here because
are we ever surprised by Big?
Yeah, Big 2-1 Monty and they 2-0'd Heroic. I don't know how much like to put into her beating Heroic this tournament. Like I would on a normal basis, right? You have to put a lot in like, holy shit, they beat Heroic. But Heroic just didn't look
at everyone else. So did everyone else. But they did also beat Monty, beat Heroic.
Which I will say, beating Monty is a legitimate thing.
They're both legit. I mean, they're both legit wins. I think that's... When you look at it, Heroic lost to a good-looking big team.
Yep.
You know, let's not fuck around with Crimbo going crazy. Mousesports, who we know are dangerous. They might not be... We spent last week saying how they're inconsistent, but they are...
They could be good.
Very dangerous, yeah.
Yep.
And then Monty, who, again, are a good upset team. Like, Monty are no fucking pushovers. Like, I was a little bit disappointed, actually, that they ended up where they did in the last chance qualifier. But they are a good team, Monty. Like, there's no player on that team where you look at and go, he's just not good enough. Like, they are a very, very solid, hard to beat team. And Big beat both them and Heroic. Again, you talk about Heroic losing all these games and they don't normally lose them, but they're not. They didn't lose to Rooster and they didn't lose to EG. Do you know what I mean? They didn't. Yeah. Heroic didn't lose to terrible teams. They lost to decent teams.
Yeah. I got three more teams I want to talk about here. I don't feel the need to talk about Rooster to a huge degree.
Yeah.
And who cares? I think that we just said everything that needed to be said about Mouse. They were on this time.
Yeah. I always think Counter-Strike is a lot more fun to watch when Mouse are good because weirdly, Mouse always have these fun rosters that can be up and down, but when they're on, like, I mean, they're do you on. Remember like the Chris J Oscar double off on Mirage mid and Sunny and Connector? Like, that was crazy. Like, they were always fun to watch, and this Mouse team can be really fun to watch. Exertion is so much fun to watch.
Yeah. The three teams that I've left that I really want to talk about, I want to talk about Ents for a second. They
might be the best team in the world.
I was gonna say I think they are the best team in the world.
It's really hard. Every time you think it, they like lose to Vitality or they lose to G2, and you go,
maybe they're second. Here's the thing: without a doubt, they are top. They're three, Heroic, certainly. Like
they're the new Heroic.
No, because they get far in playoffs.
Yeah, but they do lose to the other playoffs, big teams,
and then they'll lose in finals.
Yeah, fine. They're liquid. That's what they are.
But as comparative to Liquid, this team has a base that they can build around. They have an AWPer. Sun Pius has been so good.
Yep.
It's like...
The fact that when they signed Sun Pius, he was a 1.3 player on CT side and like a 0.98 player on T side. And now he's just a god on the T side.
Yeah. Snappy's I give all credits to Snappy and the coaching staff, but like I give a lot. I have to give Sun Pius himself.
Like, where do you even put Sun Pius in terms of the great AWPers in the world?
I think he's number six.
Just that because, seems low. Well, though,
the problem is I put him six because I can't in my head justify top five. I don't know who's in top five off the top of my head. But
I think
saying
he's top five.
But saying top five and Sun Pius just sounds wrong.
Only AWPers? He's got to be at least.
I mean,
fifth.
It's like, okay, Zywoo, Simple, Device. There's three.
Yeah. But like, Sun Pius dicks Zywoo over and over again, bro. He dicks him. And like, then
where
you're looking
go
at like,
after that. Is it like
Monacy,
Shiro,
Monacy? Oh yeah, there's Monacy and Shiro. I think he's on a par with Monacy, and I love Monacy. But like,
I mean,
it comes down to the type of AWPer you want. When I talk about Acadian earlier being a moment AWPer, Monacy is like a moment AWPer. Like, when you need a moment,
he's the
you
guy.
Give the AWP to Monacy and say do whatever the fuck you want. When you need a clutch, you leave Cadian in the 1v3 and let him work his magic. Like,
yeah.
Cadian in one... I swear to God he doesn't lose 1v3s. I know that isn't true, but it feels true.
No, it feels like
play.
It, yeah.
Whereas Sun Pius is more like a Device. He's a quiet 27 kills. But
they're 27 kills. Like,
he's so good, man. No, yeah, you're right. There's five of those AWPers are so good.
No, I can say for certain he's top six. Like, I don't, it does, yeah. doesn't matter. Those are the six best. We just named the six best offers in the world. There is not another person who I can think of off the rip that would be in such a conversation.
I might have him over Shiro. I might do.
I mean, right I now I'd have him over Shiro, but like, all right. Let's talk about the other two teams I want to talk about because they both come from the other side of the pond. Let's talk about MIBR for a second.
Yeah.
I don't know where we landed on MIBR. I know we were pretty hyped. I know we said MIBR could win against Mouse, they would lose against Ents, then they could win against Monty. And they did all of that.
Yeah.
And then they lost to Mouse again.
And then they lost to Monty, right?
And then they lost to Monty.
Yeah. So they're all really harsh, but MIBR do feel like a heroic failure type of team. Like they always, like, do you remember when we used to talk about Sprout and how they'd always lose in overtime, but they'd lose 2-0?
Yes.
That's how I feel about MIBR. Like they'll always come close to being really good,
but never,
and never quite do it. And it feels like that's always been the case pretty much since they came back in CS. And it's kind of sad, but like, they aren't quite the fourth best team in this group. Yeah. And there are very few groups where they would just about be the fourth best team. And I think they'll always be teetering on that edge. And it is a shame because they do have talent. And, you know, we've said before, the scene is better when there's a good Brazilian team or multiple good Brazilian teams. And they're close, but it feels like they're always close.
It feels like MIBR, I don't know. They feel like they are on par with like Complexity, maybe a little higher in terms of like where I'd put them on to finish an event. That's what my current vibe is. But I do want to point out that Safe is really good at Counter-Strike.
Sometimes he is. Sometimes he's like silent. It's really strange.
So Safe and Drop were definitely better. Like they are definitely good additions to this team. Insani is just still really all over the place.
He's a live wire, man. But you kind of don't want to calm him down because if MIBR are to beat good teams, it feels like it's going to be Insani going off.
Yeah.
Like, and if you try and temper him and make him more consistent, I think MIBR actually lose their ability to.
I think they become more consistently worse.
They become like a consistent 7 out of 10, yeah. And they like might actually finish fourth in this group, but
yeah,
they'll never be.
I mean, they were
a good team,
5th out of 8 in this group.
Yeah,
right. Like just based on
they might
that.
Be fourth if they were more consistent, but then I don't think they'd ever beat the good teams. And Insani feels pretty key to that. He's really talented, but he's one of those players that I don't think will ever be consistent, and I'm not sure should ever be consistent. Mm-hmm. It's something people used to aim at, like Rez and Config. It's like, oh, if they were just consistent, it's like, well, the way they play is inherently inconsistent. Like, by design, it's inconsistent.
Yeah. Last thing I want to talk about is Evil Geniuses. It should have been expected to everyone who's ever listened to this podcast about talking about Evil Geniuses. They lost to Ents. Reasonable. They beat Rooster, which. We talked about this as a catch 22 last week.
Yeah.
Either you lose to Rooster and shit, you lost to like the second or third best Australian team.
Yeah.
Or you win against Rooster and shit, you only won against the second or best Australian team.
And you shrug your shoulders and go, well, yeah, of course you beat Rooster.
Of course you beat Rooster.
Yeah. It's like there is no win there.
They put up a good fight against MIBR though. And we just spent a while talking about MIBR being decent. Other than the first map, which they lost 16-1. They went to double overtime in the second and triple overtime in the third.
EG used to be the third best team in the world. Like I know completely different roster.
EG used to be like, the best team in the world. There was a point during COVID that they were ranked as the best team in the world.
Regardless. Ranked as. Yeah. They weren't, but fine. No. But what I mean is when they took over this NRG roster, they were a top 5 team in the world.
Yeah. The
Four years later, we're going,
not
well,
even.
Yeah, but they, other than the map, they got 16-1. They put up a good fight against the fourth best team in their region whilst going out in seventh place. it stopped being funny. Well, I actually can't laugh at EG. It's just sad.
At least they're tied for seventh with Heroic.
I think I tweeted something like, "We just once we want to be as good as Heroic, the monkey's paw unfurls." what is there even to say anymore about EG? Like, they've mismanaged their roster to the point where losing 16-1 to MIBR, but going to overtime on another map, is like considered
count as
a good result.
Yeah,
an MIBR roster who didn't qualify, by the way.
Yeah,
and I understand that this is, and you know, we're giving them some leeway because it's an academy roster and stuff, and it's like, yeah, no, I get it, but they just shouldn't be at these events.
Well, okay, here's my thing about the academy roster thing, right? I was obviously a proponent of, this is an academy roster, we got to give them like 2 seconds to like figure out what the hell they're doing. The problem is they've done like what, three? They've done a couple events now, right? So in the last like 2 months, they did CCT North Europe. They lost to Spirit in the third fourth match. They won the North. They got second place in the North America Open qualifier for Sydney. They got second place in the second North American Open qualifier for Sydney. They're not the best. They lost to two different teams, one of which doesn't have an org in North America.
You could have signed to this M80 roster. Well, could have been better.
They got second. I think it's second place in Thunder Pick World Championship NA. And they got third, fourth, losing to Nouns. And then they come to Pro League, and it doesn't seem like they're any better than anything. The problem is, right, if we say you're going to be an academy roster, that's fine. We expect you to lose. We expect you to take hits. But we also expect you to show you're a little bit better every tournament.
I think it's important that we make it clear we're not upset at the players on EG.
No.
Because this is an impossible situation for them. We're on the academy, quote unquote, the whatever roster it was. I can't remember if it was the white or the black roster, whatever. They were on this roster. They were an academy team. They were meant to be going to the second tier event and playing them and all of that. This is not their fault. No. It is not Hex's fault that he's not a tier one player.
Nope.
It is not Junior's fault that he's not quite a tier one player. Like, it is not their fault.
No, they shouldn't
EG,
be.
EG didn't even want this roster to be their main roster. All those rumors about them trying to sign Zorty and Elige and Electron, they're all true. The move just fell through at the last minute and they tried to play it off as them trying to play their academy team, which isn't the case. What we're angry at or upset at is Evil Geniuses, the organization, who have let this happen and are letting these players take the brunt of their own failures and potentially ruining or at least denting the confidence of young players by forcing them to play in events like this that they clearly aren't ready for. And it's not their fault.
And we actually see that when players leave the EG ecosystem, that they play better. It's a very odd phenomena, because the teams that EG are getting beat by in North America, the biggest one you can think of is Forsaken, which is half the EG rejects.
Yeah.
Right. Stanislaw, yeah, Wiz, Infinite, those are all former EG players.
Yeah, it's just infuriating because these players don't deserve to be just getting battered every day and then getting some stick online. And people are less horrible to them now, to be fair, because it's the academy roster.
I think people are coming around to understand this.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, okay, we're going with the developmental roster. But if that's the case, they shouldn't be in the partner program. They shouldn't be at Blast events. And they because they simply are not trying to be the best team in the world right now.
Yeah.
And that should be the number one proponent. Like, that should be the point of competition.
All right, I want to talk about Na'Vi for 2 seconds before we get into the rest of Group C, which we'll do some predictions on. Ima came out with an interview that said, "I cannot be the guy who's saving the team," which... So, yeah.
Feels like an unfortunate quote.
Yeah. The reason I wanted to bring up this quote is because it feels like everyone goes and looks at this team and goes, "Oh, look, it's got Simple, it's got JL, who is pretty decent at the major, it's got Ima, who was great at the major, it's got Bit on it, who we already know Bit, and it's got Alexi leading it, right? this team should be firing at all cylinders at the highest of highs, and but it's not.
Yeah.
And the question is who's to blame? And Ema's like stats have gone down and stuff, and people have latched on to, well, Ema's the problem. I agree with Ema that he's not the problem. I don't know who the problem is.
He's a problem,
but he's not the problem. People, so this is a more generic conversation about stat whoring. You can't just look at stats and expect them to be totally correct. Because let's be very clear here, Ema had star roles in Gamer Legion.
I think he has a lot of similar roles from what I remember. I'd have to check. Harry keeps track of stuff like this, which is.
I can't
in crazy,
it, but
yeah, he has a tableau online, a publicly available tableau that you can check where each player plays on each map. It's really cool. And I check, but I'm pretty sure Ema gets a lot of the roles he wants. Like, for example, Nuke, he gets the hut/door role, which is his, you know, from what I gather, it's a lot of Rifler's favorite roles, actually.
It's because
people might expect him to get outside.
It's because Simple's the AWPer, right? And so we put Simple.
Well, so the AWPer on Nuke usually plays Heaven.
Yeah.
Alexi B gets outside, which always struck me as very strange. From what I gather, it's because it was actually the spot that was left rather than him taking the star role. But outside is traditionally like a powerful like rifle role. Like they usually have a very good player there. I think Nico plays there on G2, if I remember rightly.
That sounds right.
Their positions have always been kind of strange. Ema is in decent spots to do a lot of damage, and he isn't quite yet. But it's really difficult to know exactly what's wrong with Na'Vi because they're not actually that bad.
No.
they're still decent. Like,
yeah. I don't know.
And Simple isn't at God level again yet.
No.
So... until you see Simple at his peak, you don't know how good this Na'Vi roster can be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm of the opinion of like stats don't tell the whole story. Like
they don't, but they tell more of a story than some pros will tell you.
Yes, I think that if you literally just look at this team and you think about mouths to feed. You go look at Gamer Legion and your mouths to feed were what? Ema Acor. And Acor.
Yeah. Sui got his lot as well.
And at the very least on Na'Vi, you have three mouths to feed.
Yeah, but they tend to give Bit and JL like certainly on CT side, JL gets like floor on Nuke. I think he gets B on Mirage.
Well, I wasn't thinking JL. I was thinking simple Bit. Ema.
Yeah. But then even like Bit often gets like anchor roles.
And yeah.
Bit has become sidelined a little bit for, well, now Ema, but previously NPL got some of his roles. And I think Electronic probably got some of them as well. Bit kind of tailed off and then had his role taken from him. And then he started playing well again.
Mm-hmm.
Bit's just kind of an inconsistent player. And he's given like strange, he's given like aim heavy roles and brain. You know, yeah. Roles that you don't really need your brain so much usually.
All right, let's talk about the rest of Group C. Eight teams in the group. We have two matches that finished like moments ago. FaZe against 9Z. I'm just going to go through the openers. FaZe against 9Z, Imperial, Fnatic, Apex M80, and Na'Vi and Cyclone. I want to start with FaZe because they may be the most interesting team in this group.
9Z always turn up to like you don't hear about them for ages and they turn up to a European event and they always take a scalp.
Yeah, and FaZe's prime scalp taking place.
Yeah.
What's one of those shows up?
It's one of those games where the upset almost feels too obvious. Yep. So FaZe will 2-0.
There's a world. As you guys listen to this, you will know the answer of this, Matt, like the result. But there's a world where 9Z wins this, and it's not a distant world. It's a
yeah.
There's a real world where that happens.
But it also just feels like it's too perfect a storm and it won't happen. And I know that's nonsense, but it feels like that's always the case. Like, you know, when everyone was picking fours to go through at the Meiji, you just kind of knew they were going to ball it.
Imperial Fanatic is a banger game. I'm in.
It's like so anti-banger that it's a banger. I have no idea who's going to win that game.
Yeah,
Fnatic never fill me with
versus
any
Afro, I'm in.
Watching Henny is always a joy.
Exactly.
And I mean that genuinely. He is so flashy. He's the most Brazilian player I've ever seen. He's like, he is Yoga Benito. He is like Ronaldinho. He is Kelvin. He is whatever like Brazilian baller you want to pick. That's him, bro. He's all flash, loads of ability, doesn't quite know how to use it, really quick. His ability to flick is insane.
If only he could IGL. No.
if only, you know, any of the things that have gone wrong in his career hadn't gone wrong, he'd be a great player. But
the other two matches have finished. So Apex 2-0'd M80, which was expected. The first map went to overtime. It was actually a pretty good showing from M80. They just couldn't close it out. Second map was a brutal destruction.
Apex are good. Apex are a good team. Apex and M80 are quite new to this level of play. This is their first big event.
Yeah. Na'Vi beat Cyclone. Both maps weren't a stomp. They were 16-11, 16-12. Reasonable score lines. But that sets us up for my match of the week, which is something I'm deciding now is going to be a thing. Which is M80 and Cyclone in the lower bracket.
I'm on board, man. It's two of my favorite players in the world, Jam Young and Malps.
It sounds like chaos.
He's so good.
It's just chaos in a match. I'm so excited.
I think M80 will probably win. It is chaotic, but actually Advent and Manx are both very good in-game leaders.
Advent is
who do know what they're talking
Advent
about.
Advent is the anti-Asian CS IGL.
Yeah.
He's the one that
there
will...
There is no way Mosea would be playing anything close to Counter-Strike if he was in charge.
Yep.
That guy is like, you can always see him getting out of line and his leash being yanked. Like you can see it. Look, he's like, he has like a shock collar on. That guy wants to 1-dig everyone. He wants to run down mid and he wants to 1-dig everyone. And Advent's like, no, please no. And then occasionally, when they have an eco, they let Mosea free, and you just watch him just like mechanically, that guy is incredible. Like he mechanically, there are genuinely very few players in the world better than Mosea, but he must be brain dead because he doesn't lose fights. Seriously, his deagle, he does not lose fights. He's so good, but he's such an idiot. Oh, I love him.
And they're playing M80, who is
M80, who are actually a lot more structured
than you think.
I think they might have some firepower issues against good teams. I think against Cyclone,
they should
be okay. Yeah. I think they should be able to outgrind them and be okay.
It also sets up Apex Na'Vi, which I think is a banger match.
That's a good game. Yeah.
Am I misremembering, or did this happen in Paris?
I should know this because I was there.
It did not. But it was Apex remember. Liquid.
Apex beat Liquid.
I'm capping.
They absolutely destroyed Liquid.
Yes, that's correct. But Apex Na'Vi play tomorrow, which I think will be an interesting match too, because Apex have obviously proven that they are, you know, a semi decent team.
Apex probably good. Apex have some of the most robust self-belief I've ever seen in the team. They really think they're really good. And I kind of agree.
Did you watch map one of M80 Apex?
I did, Inferno? But on a second monitor.
If you were knocking that map, I'd very much understand why you have some confidence.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've heard a lot of the other teams get really annoyed at Apex because they are quite, like,
cocky.
They're loud when they win and they're cocky. And I personally quite like it. I quite like that there's a little bit of edge to them. They're like, because Nork, Sticko, Jakame have been on big teams and have been not discarded, but like Sticko was like, you know, he was not considered great by a lot of the public.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though the players seemed to like him, he was thrown away from Mouse. He was on cloud nine and they didn't keep him.
Yeah.
Nork was discarded by NIP despite performing well. Jakaim was on FaZe and, you know, whatever happened.
I don't know how much we can say Jakaim was discarded. Because he was from FaZe, but that was like 6 years ago. And he's made his name in going to smaller teams and being the guy.
Yeah, and has never been picked up again by a big team. And I think to them, there's like a point to prove that, no, fuck you. We are tier one players. And we're here to, like, it feels like they've all got a chip on their shoulder. And I like that. Like, I really like that.
Well, he was picked up.
They're fucking hungry.
He was picked up by Apex.
Well, yeah.
And then.
But when Apex picked him up, they weren't a massive team.
The first time or the second time? Because the answer is both.
Yeah, the answer is both. I like this because they all have a point to prove. And they are, you can tell them there's like real, like they every game to them is like,
it's life or death. There's like a chip
they're proving themselves.
There's a chip on their shoulder. Thoughts? Let's do some predictions. Let's finish this out here. FaZe should probably make it through. Dot dot dot.
FaZe make it through in third.
Here's the problem with FaZe making it through in third. Okay, that means that either 9Z, Imperial, or Fnatic need to make it through to the upper bracket final.
Fnatic beat FaZe.
Yeah.
Fnatic beat FaZe.
Okay.
I'm going with it. I've said it. I'm locking it in.
So I could do Fnatic, Na'Vi 1-2.
Yeah.
FaZe 3, Apex 4.
Wait, it's Apex FaZe. All right, FaZe go through in fourth, Apex go through in third.
Okay, I'm not looking stat hard. But Fnatic, FaZe, Apex, Na'Vi, I think is...
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that is.
So that leaves... teams that are left out, Cyclone, M80, 9Z, Imperial.
That is like the obvious answer, but also... anything could happen in this group.
No. So
there is a world where like Imperial get through, and like you kind of just have to accept it.
There's nothing that we know that's going to go. And here's the thing: I couldn't tell you what the upper bracket looks like. I really couldn't tell you what the lower bracket looks like, and I really can't tell you what the last chance stage looks like.
It's
like,
going to be a fist fight.
The further we get into this group, the less certain I am of anything.
Yeah, it's going to be a fist fight, and I'm so ready for it.
Other than that, the only other news that we have is a little CS2 related news. Very not news at all, but I find it funny that we are so on CS2 that we are reporting this, that Steam had their 20th anniversary yesterday, and they did a little thing of like what happened every year that Steam was alive in Steam and then in pop culture. And so when they got to 2023, they wrote, "The year isn't quite over yet, but we've released a Steam client update. Counter-Strike 2 has entered into beta and launches soon. And there are now more than 11,000 titles verified or played on Steam Deck." And I find it funny that not one, but like three or four different media sources that are not us all covered the fact that Counter-Strike said that it was going to come out soon, which is something we've known about for like 4 months now.
Yeah, it's great for clicks though, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. Other than that, make sure to watch ESL Impact, which starts today.
Yesterday as you're hearing this.
Watch all of Group C. Alexi just came out with a banger headline article that we'll talk about next week, which is, "If it wasn't for JL in our camp, then it would be a graveyard 24/7 We will dive into that next week. You can find us on Twitter at @LoganRamhap, @AZSK, and @3TLJR. See you.